So this morning we're going to be continuing our series called Journey with Jesus. And this morning we'll be thinking about Peter learning lessons of faith. And my prayer is that as we look at this, that we would learn the same lessons of faith that Jesus has been teaching his disciples. So I'm going to ask Carol if she'll come and read for us. The reading's up there. And if you're using the Church Bible, it'll be on page 681.
John the Baptist had been beheaded, and Jesus was really distressed by this because he was his cousin or a near relative, and also he'd been so faithful to God. So he decided he would go away. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that day, he was there alone. That night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. They cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Well, I love preaching in the Gospels because there's nothing quite as great as looking at the life of Jesus. And as I said earlier, we're going to look at some lessons in faith that Jesus wanted to teach his disciples. And my prayer is that we will learn the same lessons. It seems to me that lessons of faith are some of the hardest lessons to learn. When I reflect on my years as a Christian, I have learned many things in church, in conferences, in home groups, and in college. But learning to exercise faith has not been one of them. Perhaps that's because faith cannot be learned purely by instruction. but it's learned through experience. When I read the Gospels, I discover that Jesus frequently was teaching his disciples lessons in faith, but then Jesus taught his disciples in the context of real life. I recall as a young Christian, I used to talk quite a lot about living by faith and the excitement of living by faith, which was fine until I actually had to do it. And then it felt very different. You see, I had made the decision that I would remain in Loughborough where I'd been studying to be involved in the Christian work that I'd engaged with there. And because of that, I had to limit my job search to anywhere within travelling distance of Loughborough. So I was unemployed for 6 months. And for 6 months, my income was inadequate. And I got a whole new perspective on what it meant to live by faith. You know, God provided, and often he provided through other people. God often chose the generosity of other people to provide for my need, and that grated against myself, my sense of self-independence. You know, if God had sort of sent manna from heaven, that would be fine. But if God gave resources through others, then, you know, that was fine. And yet it was God at work. When I started work, things got worse because I was working 38 miles from home. So I had to drive there. There was no way I could get there by public transport. So I had to drive there, and I wouldn't be paid for 7 weeks because we were paid in arrears. And I started 1 month. So things were even worse because I needed even more money. And I can remember on one occasion where the car was just about empty. And I thought, what do I do the next day? Do I exercise faith and drive anyway and hope that the petrol in the car would be like the oil in that jar in the Old Testament, which just lasted? Or do I phone in and pretend to be sick, which obviously I can't do? That evening, I gave someone a lift home. And as they were about to get out of the car, they said, I believe God wants me to give you this. And they gave me £10, which in those days would buy enough petrol to keep me going for a week. Today it would probably keep you going for a few hours. But it was tough because it was always through other people. And you know, we don't like that, do we? We like to be independent. Many of us were raised with that sense that we needed to be independent. So in the scripture that we're looking at, we have two incidents when Jesus is growing the faith of his disciples. We sometimes use the word faith to describe a set of beliefs. Oh, I meant to do that bit. We talk about the Christian faith, the things that Christians believe. But the sort of faith we're talking about this morning is much more. It's about trust. It's about dependence. It's about making ourselves vulnerable. It's about taking risks. I think learning faith is a bit like learning to swim. You'll never learn to swim unless you take your feet off the bottom. And sometimes we only learn faith when we're willing to step out and sort of take that risk. So firstly, I want to think about, there are three lessons I want to think about this morning. Firstly, the lesson about trusting beyond our resources. I want you to use your imagination to put yourself in the place of the disciples. You are faced with this crowd of over 5,000 people, and Jesus says, feed them. And you know that the only food you have available is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So how do you feel? What do you think you're going to do? Mark and Luke both tell us that Jesus told the disciples to get the crowd to sit down in groups of 50. So I want to imagine you're a disciple and you're going to the crowd and you're going to ask them to sit down. What are you going to say? You're going to say, please sit down in groups of 50, you're going to be fed. Or do you say, Jesus said, "Can you please sit down? I have no idea why." See, Jesus was asking his disciples to exercise faith. Jesus knew what he was going to do, but they didn't. He'd never done anything like this before. And so he was asking them to act beyond their own resources. They had to act in faith. The second lesson I want us to learn is about finding strength in the secret places of prayer. At the end of it all, Jesus sent his 12 disciples ahead of him to the other side of the lake, and he himself dismissed the crowds. Interesting, isn't it? I'm sure Jesus was equally tired, but he took it upon himself to dismiss the crowds. And when they'd all gone, he went to the hills to pray. He was tired after a busy day. He'd been ministering to the crowd. He'd been healing people. He'd been teaching. He'd been providing food. And his heart was broken because he'd heard the news of John the Baptist. And he had longed for solitude, but a crowd had turned up. And rather than seek his own solitude, he was willing to serve them first. Finally, he had the solitude he desired. Minutes grew into hours. Darkness closed in upon him. He was alone with his heavenly Father, lingering in his presence, communicating with him from the depths of his heart. And it seems to me those times of prayer were the sort of secret source of power in Jesus' life. He frequently took time aside to be in God's presence in the place of prayer. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. They were caught in a storm. Now Peter, Andrew, James and John were all experienced fishermen. But this was an incredible storm. And they were also very tired. Fish suppers for 5,000 people with 12 disciples was no mean task, was it? I can remember being at a conference in Europe with 3,000. And the business of feeding 3,000 at lunch was absolutely amazing. And it made me think what it took for the 12 disciples to feed 5,000 people. It was no mean task. They must have been exhausted. And then after all of that, they had to engage in the Keep Galilee Tidy campaign. Jesus insisted they pick up all the bits that were left. So they were exhausted and they were in trouble and they were in the storm. And how did they end up being in so much trouble? How did they end up being in so much trouble? They were doing what Jesus had told them to do. They were crossing the lake because Jesus told them. You know, doing what Jesus tells us to do doesn't necessarily mean that we will avoid trouble. So here are the disciples battling the storm, and Jesus comes to them walking on the water. Now notice that the storm didn't cease as soon as Jesus arrived. And notice that Jesus came to them in a way that they didn't recognize and they didn't understand. They didn't know what he was doing. And their reaction, initial reaction, was confusion and fear. You know, and sometimes we don't realize immediately what God is doing in our crisis. We pray and we ask for his help, and sometimes things seem to get worse. And we think God is not answering our prayers. But that is sometimes how God works. I think about Joseph. Remember those dreams he had of greatness? And what a devious route he had to get there. And he is in prison with no hope of release as far as he can see. And he must have seemed further away from his dreams than ever before. And yet in reality, he was closer than he'd ever been to the fulfillment of those dreams. I think about Moses. God sends him to Pharaoh, say, "Let my people go." So Moses goes in to do what God says. And what happens? Things get worse. The people are told they're not going to get any more straw, but they still have to make the same number of bricks. Sometimes things get worse before they get better, but we need to hold on in faith and trust God through those circumstances. God doesn't immediately pull us out of trouble. You see, lessons of faith are learned in situations of extremity. So trusting beyond our resources, finding strength in the secret places of prayer as Jesus did. And then thirdly, trusting beyond our abilities. You know, I love Peter. He got such a big heart, hasn't he? He often gets things wrong. Peter wasn't one for contemplation. He wanted action. He was the sort of shoot first and ask questions later sort of person. He was the sort of person that begins assembling the self-pack and only starts to read the instructions when everything goes wrong. That was Peter. Act now, think later. So as soon as he realizes this was Jesus, he has to do something. He's a person of action. He wanted to be in the thick of the action, doing what Jesus was doing. So he says, basically, Jesus, if you're into this walking on water business, I want to do the same. Ask me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And you have to admire Peter's courage. He gets out of the boat, onto the water, and he starts to walk on the water. Peter's brain then slips into gear, and he realizes he's doing something that he can't normally do. And what happens is he notices the waves and the winds, and he begins to sink. And there's a sense of panic. Then he prays one of those eloquent prayers recorded for us in Scripture. O Lord, verily thou knowest that I sinkest, and if thou actest not hastily, verily, yea, twice verily, am I in great trouble. Except that in the urgency that Peter felt, he felt compelled to be more economic with his words. And so he just cries, Lord, save me. And Jesus does. You see, prayer does not have to be eloquent to get answered. This is one of the simplest prayers in Scripture, and yet it gets an immediate response from Jesus. I'm getting behind. Jesus reaches out and picks people up. Now, I've often wondered, I don't know what the answer is, but I wonder what you think. How do you think Peter got back into the boat? Do you think Jesus carried him? Or perhaps they both walked on water together back into the boat. I think that's probably more likely. You know, the climax of this story is not Peter walking on water. It's not even Jesus calming the storm. The climax of this story is what happened when they were back in the boat. They worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So you see, faith is about recognizing who Jesus is and trusting him. When our resources seem inadequate, when our abilities seem insufficient, we step out in faith. So summarizing, three lessons that we can learn from Jesus. We can learn to trust beyond our resources. We can learn to do what Jesus did and find strength in the secret places of prayer. And we can learn to trust beyond our abilities. But you know, sometimes, as this cartoon illustrates, we miss the point. Sometimes we want to be safe. And sometimes God wants to put us at risk so that we learn to truly trust him. When all of our resources are exhausted and we've got no one else we can trust him. I can remember many years ago when I was at my early years at university in Loughborough. I was regularly attending a church and feeling that I just got nothing from it. And I kept telling myself, I'm going with the wrong attitude. If I went with the right attitude, I'd learn something here. And then one night, I knew there were a group of Christians who went to a Baptist church in a nearby village with a lay pastor, Pastor Cooper. Some of us will know him. And I went along with them. And the only reason I went along was because I could get a lift there and back. So my motivation for going to church was completely wrong. And yet I can remember to this day that message. I can remember Pastor Cooper getting up and saying, sometimes as a pastor, I feel I need to whip you up into action. But today I want to draw alongside of you and encourage you. And I thought, that's what I need. And then he preached on another storm when Paul was in the storm and God promised him that he would save everybody in the boat. And what does Paul do? He goes and he tells the captain, God has promised me this. Everybody must stay in the boat. And I can remember Pastor Cooper in his usual manner, leaning over the pulpit and saying, is there any faith in trusting God? Is there? Then why don't we do it? This was a lesson that Jesus wanted his disciples to learn, that faith in Jesus is absolutely safe and certain, however risky it might seem. Jesus took the disciples through these challenging experiences for the single purpose of teaching them faith. Now, some of us this morning might be facing difficult situations. If we are, I want to encourage you to trust. Some God may be calling to face new challenges. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to trust. And some of us may not yet have learned to trust Jesus. You've been around church for some time and you've heard the message, but you've not yet taken that step of committing to trusting Jesus. Can I encourage you to do that and begin journeying with Jesus? Now, I was keen to find a song that we could finish with that talked about faith. And the song I found, I asked Lydia, and she didn't think it was going to work very well for us to sing, and you'll know why once I play it. So we're going to listen to it, but I want you to concentrate on the words, and then we're going to take some time of quiet prayer to allow us to respond. You see, because it's not just about hearing the message, it's about responding to the message that matters. So I think everything should be set.
That can't be parted. There is no mountain that can't be moved. I know there's help for the heavy hearted. The weak will find their strength renewed. You just gotta have faith. You just gotta have faith. It's life for the shadows, for all your tomorrows. It's knowing he's there through the sun and the rain. It's when you believe it before you can see it. And you can walk on, cause he's making a way. Just gotta have some faith, you gotta. the shadows, he's hope for tomorrow. He'll always be there through the sun and the rain. You've got to believe.
You got the message. You know, sometimes the words of a song get stuck in your mind. Sometimes you don't want them to. Many months ago, I listened to the song American Pie. And to my regret, I wake up in the morning thinking about the words of that song. I want to wake up in the morning thinking about this word song. You got to have faith. You've got to have faith. Faith, the leaning of your entire human personality on him in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. You've got to have faith. Let's pray. Let's take a few moments of quiet and give you the opportunity just in your own hearts to respond. Heavenly Father, we have to confess that just like Jesus' early disciples, we are slow to learn the lessons of faith. But we thank you that Jesus is entirely trustworthy. What he said he will do, what he's promised he will fulfill. We thank you that there is no risk in trusting him because of who he is. And we just pray that in this coming week, whether we're on top or whether we're struggling, whatever circumstances we face, that we might have faith to trust you and to continue living your way and looking to you for all that we need. Thank you that you never fail. Help us, each and every one, to have faith. Amen.